All right. Can we give Teresa a warm welcome to share her testimony today? Thank you for that powerful, powerful video. But yeah, I'll leave it to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to be here. And I'm very joyful because we saw Pastor James Yoon and his family because they used to be in our church. And we worked together with Miss Helen in the school. And praise God. And before anything else, I would like to say the verse, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grow up, he will never depart from it. And I'm Teresa, and I was born and raised in the slums of Cebu City, Philippines. In Cebu now, there are so many Korean people, and they love the beach of our island. But aside from the beaches, we have so many slum areas, and we were living in the slums. My two brothers and I were born and raised in the slums and together with all my family. And we have a very small house, and we don't have a kitchen, and we don't have a toilet. So every time we want to use those facilities, we will run to my grandmother's house. But my greatest problem before was not because I am born from a poor family. That was not my problem, because I'm used to living in the slum. And my condition is just the same as my neighbor, so there's nothing that I can be worried of. But I miss my mother and father a lot, because my mother and my father are both activists. In the Philippines, activism is when we rally in the street, and we used to bring placards and say, oil price hike, labor things. And so my father and my mother are leaders of those group. And they thought that my mother used to be a Christian, but she left her faith. And when they got married to my father, they just pursue those ideologies. But here comes my grandmother. When my father and my mother will not go home until 12 midnight, they will go out of the house from 5 a.m. And we are not with them most of the time. And so it is my grandmother, who was a very devout Christian, who takes care of us. Sometimes when my father and mother are not around, we sleep with her in her house. And at 3:30 in the morning, my grandmother will always pray. And she will always pray for her 9 children and her grandchildren. She will enumerate everyone. And the prayer that always stuck on me is, she says, may she know Jesus when she grow up. And I always wonder, what does it mean to know Jesus when I grow up? But every Sunday is a struggle for me, because my parents, especially my father, he will never allow me to go to the Christian church where my grandmother is a member. And my father will beat me if I will ask. So he will beat me with belt, which is allowed in the Philippines. And I will always cry and say, Papa, please help. Please, I really wanted to know who Jesus is. And my father would say, no. And if I will pursue, I will end up kneeling with the salt on my knees. And I will always cry. And every Sunday, it's constant. And my grandmother knew that we were so poor that I cannot finish university. I can only be in the cycle of poverty all of my life. And she said to my father, can she be a compassion child in my church? And my father said, what is compassion? And then my grandmother said, there is educational, there is medical and dental checkup. And there's also knowing about Jesus. And my father said, I want all the benefits except for knowing Jesus. Can it be done? And then my grandmother said, yes, yes. And so for me, every once a month, we go to compassion. And it's my joy, because I can only hear the word of God spoken and being sung in the church. And I'm always joyful, and I cherish those words in my heart. So maybe for you, no one is stopping you from coming to church. So count it as a joy that you have the freedom to come to church. Because not everyone have the freedom to enjoy the presence of God. And so I became a Christian. I accepted Jesus in one of the camps. When I was year 3, the Compassion Always Run camps. And our pastor asked us, who do you think will go to heaven? And I said, who do you think will go to heaven? I think everyone will go to heaven. But our pastor said, and then the other people were saying, those who do good works, those who obey their parents, those who do things that are good to the community. And then our pastor just pointed us to Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by good works, so that no one can boast. And I was so joyful. I said, God, thank you that it's not by good works. Because if it's by good works, Lord, like giving alms to people, I will never be able to go to heaven. But thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. Even when I'm from the poverty community, you included me in your plan of redemption. And I accepted Jesus with my whole heart. And they said that they will be water baptized. And I said, can I also join? And then the youth said, you need to ask pastor. So we asked, and our pastor said, I know your father, so we will ask permission. And they called my father, and my father said, no, until you're 18. And I said, Papa, I'm still 9 years old. Should I need to wait for 9 years? And my father said, yes. If you want to believe in the faith that you're believing now, you need to wait. And I keep on crying. I said to my pastor, can you just throw me in the water? Because anyway, my father will not know. And my pastor said to me, you know what? Peter said in Acts, if one of your family household will be saved, then your entire whole will be saved. And I was like, really, pastor? So every time, I always pray with my grandmother. And I say, God, it's impossible for my father to believe in you, but I'm believing that you will touch his heart. After 4 years of becoming a Christian, I was first year high school. And our entire community, 500 slum communities, it was destroyed by fire. All for 4 hours, all of our houses, all of the community houses got burned by the fire. And we were in the compassion center, and we were crying, and we were running, and we saw the community. It was all in ashes. And I said, God, you said that you're good, but how come, Lord, you allowed such devastation? And just imagine, for 6 months, we lived in a public school with all of our neighbors. And I was so greatly disturbed. And my teacher called my father and said, if she will not be placed in another accommodation, then she will eventually be kicked out of the selective school. And my father was so afraid. And he remembered that Compassion offered us to live in the church. And my father said, I don't want you to step in the church. How much more to live in the church parsonage? But he doesn't have a choice. For 1 month, they did not visit me. But for me, it was so joyful to hear God's word every day being spoken by the Bible school students in our church. And after that, he said, my father just accidentally visited us in the church because he thought we were in the parsonage, but we were inside the church. And he just came and he heard John 3:16. Maybe for you, you have been a Christian for so long. And the power of the verse does not mean so much for you, but for him, he said, God, I have been and rallying in the street, knowing that I thought that rallying in the street is the solution to the problem. I did not know that Jesus was already sent by the Father. And for many Sundays, after Sundays, he just came to church. And I can't ask him, Papa, why are you coming to church now? So he said to me, at the end of December, he said to me, I already received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Can we be water baptized together? And I was like, are you sure, Papa? Because I'm still 13. I need to wait for 5 more years, as you said. But it's all because of one sponsor that I have. Her name is Sarah Pontes. And Miss Sarah Pontes has 4 children. And she has so much. She's from America. And she has all the things that she also needed for her family. But she chose to sponsor me. Before, I keep on just praying that, God, can you please give me a sponsor that will never give up on me? And she actually waited for me to finish university. And I thought that it's just an impossible dream to have my family release in poverty in Jesus' name and spiritual poverty too. And it was because her sponsorship led us. And I'm so thankful to the Lord because it was the Compassion people who said to us, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. Before, I can't understand why, Lord, why it's so difficult not having a home, going to school, and not having books, not having everything, but the Compassion people keeps on encouraging us and bringing us to the community where there were no shouting, there's no drugs, there's no gambling, but all about the pure love of God. And I'm so thankful that there are people right now who are sponsoring. And if you have not sponsored, I'm just encouraging you that you are an instrument of God's grace to that family. In my community now, there are so many people whose lives were changed. Their fathers and mothers were used to be drug dealers and notorious people in our community. But when their children were sponsored children, they were embracing God in their lives, and the Lord has changed them. And to God be the glory, great things He has done.
Wow. Thank you for sharing, Teresa. That was beautiful. I don't know if there's anything else I can add after that, really. Pastor Jay has been so kind to open his platform for me to share. It's always an honor to be able to share God's word, to talk about Jesus. And yes, it's lovely to be here. So thank you for having me. Thank you for welcoming me. People often try to figure out what my background is. You may be guessing I look a little bit funny. It's because I'm half-half. So my father is Chinese-Malaysian, and my mum is Chinese-English. My name's Isaac, and I'm part of the team here at Compassion. I moved to Sydney about 5 years ago, after growing up in Canberra my whole life. Here in Sydney, I met my fiance, who's sitting down here, and we're getting married in 4 weeks, guys. 4 weeks. I need all the prayer I can get because it's coming up quick, and yes, it's coming up quick, so pray for me, guys. On that note, can I pray for us all today? Dear Lord, we thank you for this time of fellowship, of communion. We thank you that we've set aside this time on Sunday to worship and glorify you. We thank you for the story of Teresa and for how we can all be a part of those kind of stories, Father. We pray today that we would continue to glorify you, that we would give you honor and worship, and that we would consider how we can partner with you, God, a divine partnership with you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I wanted to talk about partnership, divine partnership. You see, when you get engaged, you get more than what you bargain for. You think you're going to enter into this beautiful, rose-colored, romantic stage of life, but instead, you actually get a part-time job and full-on event planning. The longer you're engaged, well, I'm sorry to tell you, the longer you're going to be that event planner. It's trial by fire, my friends. And you thought you wanted partnership. Well, you get partnership, and you get to see all the best sides of that partner. All jokes aside, Brittany's been amazing, and I promise you this wedding, it would not be happening without her. And she is the best partner that I could ask for. Well, there's a divine partnership, church. There's a divine partnership that we all have access to. You and I, as a community and as individuals. There's a Greek word that's often used in scholarly circles. It's called perichoresis. Peri in Greek means round, and choresis means dance. So together, perichoresis means to dance around. Now that might seem like a strange term to use in theology. Well, what it refers to is this divine dance between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Perichoresis carries with it an image of a dance between the distinct but unified Godhead, each playing their role in loving communion with one another and also with humanity. It's often used as both an example and an invitation to partnership. One of the key verses used for perichoresis is John 14:20. It goes like this. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. And it's where Jesus is talking about the coming impartation of the Holy Spirit. Augustine puts it this way, each are in each, and all in each, and each in all, and all are one. Did anyone else find that confusing? It is, and you're definitely not alone. We don't need to go down the deep and confusing rabbit hole of the Trinity, but the key idea to take away here is that the Godhead, the Trinity, perichoresis, it provides an example of what relationship and partnership can look like with one another as they interact and outwork their heavenly work on earth, and also with humanity. You see, humanity was created to partner with God. All throughout the biblical story, we see a God who's committed to partnership. We see it in Genesis when we were called to rule alongside God. We see it in bringing order out of chaos, Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. It's about partnership, ruling with God, bringing his kingdom to reality on this earth. John Stott, a famous scholar, he puts it this way, according to scripture, work is a blessing, it's not a curse. And it's the creation, not the fall, which has made us workers. Work itself is a consequence of our creation in God's image. God himself is represented in Genesis 1 as a worker. So from the beginning, men and women have been privileged stewards of God, commissioned to guard and develop the environment on his behalf. We are called to rule alongside God in making this world more Christ-like, more spirit-breathed, more God-glorifying. If we keep following the biblical narrative, the Old Testament, we see that God is committed to partnership with his people. This begins in his covenant with Abraham. Genesis 15:1-18, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. We skip down to verse 5. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you were able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. We then, in these verses, this crazy ritual happens where Abraham makes a covenant with God, and he has to cut these animals in half, and he lays them in this rows, and Abraham passes out, gets really gory, and this torch and flaming pot pass through these animals. It's weird, but we come down to verse 18, and God says, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to you, your offspring, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The Lord made a covenant with Abram. This is the beginning of God's covenantal partnership with his people, with Israel, the divine partnership that God is offering. We fast forward to the New Testament, and our partnership is reaffirmed in Christ. We see this in his Great Commission. Paul puts it like this, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We are ambassadors for Christ's church. Each of us as individuals and as a community of believers, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are called to partnership in our everyday, not just on Sundays. We're called to partnership with God. This divine partnership should influence every aspect of our lives as we work with God towards seeing his kingdom a reality in this world. God wants partners, not because he needs us. He surely doesn't need us. He wants partners because he loves us. He wants to do things with us. And so today, I thought we could have a look at this partnership, explore what partnership with God looks like, this divine partnership. Now, while there are plenty of ways that we can partner with God, I wanted to focus in on three. Three ways that we can divinely partner with the Lord. We've got them on the screen there. The first is unity, discipleship, and prayer. The first expression of divine partnership with God is unity, unified as a church. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Partnership with God transcends differences and it unifies believers. When examining Paul's letters to the Gentile churches, we see that a large portion of his mission was involved in the collection of the Gentile church's offering and giving it to the Jewish church in Jerusalem. We see this all throughout Paul's epistles. He's talking about taking this collection and taking it to Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians 16:1-4. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you are also to do. On the first day of every month, of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. When I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. We see this talking all throughout 2 Corinthians and Romans, and you can read that for yourselves. And we often read these passages as a reminder to be generous, seeing the Gentile church rise above and give their offerings to the Jewish church. And while this is an important takeaway, church, it's not the only thing that Paul was up to. His intention actually stretched much further than this. To understand this, we need to understand that during the first century AD, the Jewish church and the Jewish community were an oppressed lower class citizen. They were second citizens under the Roman Empire. The Jewish Christians at this time, they were trying to understand what this faith, their ancient faith, looked like in light of Christ the Messiah coming. They had had hundreds of years of history, religion, practices that were being reinterpreted in light of Christ. On the other hand, you have the Gentiles, a pagan and polytheistic community, polytheistic just meaning multiple gods. They were trying to figure out this new faith called Christianity. They didn't know anything about it. And then this was in a culture where they had many, many gods. They worshipped many gods and it was okay. And they were trying to figure out Christianity with only having one God. Well, you can imagine the kind of differences and disagreements that would have arisen between the Gentile church and the Jewish church, and probably not too dissimilar to the kind of disagreements we have in our culture today with Christians. A lot of this is on display in the letters of the New Testament. Such different cultural and ethnic backgrounds, and they're all colliding at this single point, the cross. And while these communities had many differences, they had something that transcended these differences, these disagreements, and it unified them, which was greater. It was their partnership with God. It was this shared goal, mission, and union with God that drove them to be generous and be unified as a church. When they could have said, actually, we're not going to give to the Jewish church. We're not going to support them. They're not like us. We don't understand their problems. This divine partnership with God, it brought unity with one another. Compassion currently connects over 40 churches with 40 countries with 25 countries in the developing world. We have over 8,000 local church partners, and I can promise you, not every single one of those churches has exactly the same theology, exactly the same people groups. They're all different. And over 100,000 Australian supporters. These are people who have been committed and chosen to be unified in partnership with God. This brings much needed help to those in dire situations, and believers with different ethnic, cultural, and theological differences have the opportunity to enter into a unified, beautiful vision of God's partnership with the earth. We too get this opportunity to enter into this great lineage of generosity and unity of the early church, beginning all the way back with the early apostles and continuing still today with organizations like Compassion and with churches like yours. Are we all following okay? The second point I'd like to talk about is how we divinely partner with God in discipleship. We divinely partner with God in discipleship. Jesus' clear commission to partner with him in making disciples is expressed in Matthew 28:19-20. We probably all know this passage well. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. We often miss that part. Did we catch that, church? I am with you always to the very end of the age. God is with us. He hasn't sent us out to go make disciples of the nations by ourselves. He's with us. He's wanting to divinely partner with us. Discipleship is done through partnership with God. Now, my fiance recently finished her Master's of Theology. She's actually much smarter than I am. And in her thesis, she looked at the discipleship of Gen Z. It's very fascinating, worth reading. But one of the takeaway points that she found was the way that we consider discipleship as just an old person investing into a younger person. She actually found, and while that's an important part of discipleship, she found that it's through intergenerational relationships that believers mature simultaneously, both the young and the old, growing as they engage in discipleship and fellowship. I can attest to this being true in my own life. I've had the honor of sponsoring a Compassion Child for some time. And as a part of that sponsorship, as you saw in the video, you actually get to write letters to your Compassion children. So I often receive letters from JP and his family, and he's done these little drawings he's done at the Child Development Center. He tells me about his favorite toys, what he's learning at school, his favorite teachers, that kind of thing. And I get to speak with JP and his family about Jesus. Not all of our Compassion children know Jesus. And as you saw with Teresa's story, not all Compassion families know Jesus. So I get to share and spread the word to JP and his family. They love the Lord and they get to pray for me. And while I get to pray for them and celebrate with them, I get to lament with them and encourage them. At the very same time, church, I am being matured. I'm being grown. I'm being discipled as I disciple into this young man. It's through partnering with God that discipleship is brought about in this world. We are discipled in the very act of discipling. We are matured when we invest into others. Compassion provides the church an avenue of discipleship, an expression of our partnership with God. By sponsoring a child halfway around the world, you have an opportunity to also be discipled and matured as you engage in that relationship, as you can in your own church with one another. It's a reciprocal cycle where you invest and receive at the very same time. God has set it up so beautifully. And what if our understanding of discipleship includes a beautiful cycle of giving and receiving where we grow as we help others grow? This is what divine partnership with God looks like. A community of believers, such as yourselves, investing and receiving at the very same time, bringing God's kingdom into earth through your partnership with Him. The final aspect of partnership I wanted to explore is prayer. I recently finished A.W. Tozer's book on prayer, and in it he explores how prayer is more than just a mere act of petitioning or asking God for things. He says that it's a surrender, a deliberate yielding of our will to align with God's will. A key pillar of how we support our sponsored children at Compassion is through prayer. It has to be. It goes beyond a routine of requests, but is instead a deep trust for the futures and lives of these children, God's children. Through prayer, we surrender their education, their safety, their health into God's hands. Philippians 3:1-5, it's an encouragement to pray for one another because we are partnered to God and His gospel. Verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Because of your partnership in the gospel. Prayer, church, is the vehicle through which our divine partnership with God is carried out. Prayer is our communication line with our Heavenly Father. Just as Tozer emphasizes the transformative nature of surrender in prayer, we too surrender the narratives of these children, trusting that our prayers are not just words thrown into the abyss, but they're deep cries and powerful expressions of partnership. Our prayers are powerful expressions of partnership with God who's shaping lives and changing futures. In releasing children from poverty and as a result, entire communities and generations. As we come to a close, I want to encourage you to consider your partnership with God. The Lord has set each and every one of you apart for divine partnership. We all have access to it. And as a community, we all have access to our divine partnership with God. Colossians 3, 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. We are serving the Lord Christ in all that we do. We have to partner with him. Each day is another opportunity to set ourselves apart for partnership with God. 2.2 million children have currently been sponsored through Compassion, through people like you who have said, yes, I'm going to be a part of this. That's 2.2 million families that have had the cycle of poverty ended, have been discipled, have been prayed for. The beautiful work of Compassion gives the everyday believer an opportunity to mature in their discipleship, be the hands and feet of Jesus. If we think back to the Gentile church that we listened to before and how they helped the Jewish church, Paul didn't ask them to quit their jobs. He didn't ask them to leave their homes and go to Jerusalem. The best way that many of them could support their Jewish brothers and sisters was through praying for them, was through financially setting aside some money to be taken over to the Jewish church who was suffering at the time. I think we can often be fooled into thinking, church, that because we can't do everything, that we can't do something. That beautiful testimony that Teresa shared, it's a story about someone, a sponsor who decided to do something for someone. And look how amazing that transformation and change has changed someone's life, their whole family. And as she said, that whole community, this whole community has been changed. They decided to partner with God and sponsor a child. And while that didn't eradicate poverty from existence, it changed someone's life forever. As we consider what it means to enter into divine partnership with God, bringing his kingdom onto earth, will you consider with joining with Compassion toward that very end, as a part of that journey that we are all on in partnering with God? As a part of your partnership with God, will you allow Compassion to be an expression of that partnership? Through Compassion, you can partner with God by uniting believers globally, filling desperate situations with hope as children are given care, education, and life skills, uniting a global church through your generosity. Through Compassion, you can partner with God by growing discipleship between sponsor and sponsored child, both of you growing simultaneously, a reciprocal cycle of giving and receiving. And through Compassion, church, you can partner with God in prayer, changing situations for the better as we trust God with the future and lives of these children. Our team's going to be outside. We have a whole bunch of tables out there. They can help answer your questions. Pick up a child's profile and choose to change their life forever. Start that conversation with someone. Feel free to just talk to us, and we're there to share with you about what you can do and how you can partner with God. So will you join with me today as we partner with God and consider partnering with Compassion toward that very end, in freeing of children from poverty in Jesus' name. Can I pray for us, church, as we close? Thank you, Lord, for this time that we have had together. We thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you that we all have the power and opportunity to glorify you. We thank you for those, God, who are in this room who may not yet be in partnership with you and may not know. We ask for your forgiveness, Father, from our sins. We ask that you would be glorified and that we would choose to follow you. And for those of us, God, who have had the opportunity to love you for a long time, we ask that we'd be encouraged to once again love you, join with you, be inspired that we can make a difference in our everyday by partnering this divine partnership you offer us. In Jesus' name, amen.